before I begin my sermon this morning, happy 4th of July. As Jane was mentioning, yes, what a privilege we have to live in the country that we live in. We're blessed with so many freedoms and liberties to come and just worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. And we know that liberty has not come easily to this country and to any of the other countries around the world. The freedoms that we enjoy today are not those that everyone enjoys in other parts of the world. As a symbol of liberty, we have the Statue of Liberty, a statue that has welcomed so many immigrants from around the world, from Europe, Africa, South America. Ellis Island has been a place that has meant a lot to many, many people as they've come to this country seeking freedom, and they found it. They found that freedom that they were longing for. Today, what's commemorated is Independence Day, and the Declaration of Independence, I believe, was signed on this day, even though it was made on July 2nd. Congress came together, or the 13 states came together, and they signed this agreement on the 4th of July. There was some more revisions done afterwards, but the 4th of July is the day that we celebrate as a day of freedom, a day of liberty. And for those of you who've been to Philadelphia, there's something also very special there. It's called the Liberty Bell. Yes? And this bell has the words inscribed on it from Leviticus 25:10. And these are the words that are on this Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Amen? Proclaim liberty. Proclaim freedom to all the lands. I know that many have come to this country seeking political freedom, the ability to express their views freely. Others have come to this country looking for financial freedom and looking just for an opportunity to work and put to use the skills that God has given them. And others have come here also for religious reasons, religious freedom, seeking a place where they can worship God freely according to what they understand God wants them to do. And liberty and freedom is something very dear to us as Americans. But I want to tell you also that freedom, liberty, is a biblical concept. It is found in Scripture. Way before George Washington, way before even Jesus came to this planet Earth. And what I would like to study with you is another symbol, an icon of liberty that we find in Scripture. And this symbol is the law of God, the law of liberty. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, I ask your Holy Spirit to guide my thoughts, my words. May they not be mine, but yours. And as we study this very important concept of the law of liberty, may we be reminded, Father, that you are the one who frees us from all of our sins and all of our debts. You are the one who can help us to make the choices that we need to do and share because of the freedom that you give each one of us. And we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you to go with me again to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 specifically. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words, saying." Who spoke these words? God did. And he spoke them to Moses, his servant. Verse 2, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you
out of the land of Egypt, out of the land or of the house of bondage, slavery. The people of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. And for most of their experience there, they had been under the bondage of slavery, under Pharaoh and all the masters that they had. And during 400 years, they had suffered much. And they were longing for a day when they would be free, for the day when they would go back home, be in the land that God had promised their father Abraham. They were longing for someone to come and liberate them. Who would that be? Who could be so powerful, so influential, that he could come and set them free? Well, you must remember that Egypt was, in those days, the number one power of the entire world. What the United States would be today. Strong army, lots of wealth, lots of commerce, big schools, universities, with education for all its citizens. But as we know also, it was a very idolatrous nation where the Pharaoh himself also claimed to be God. And when Moses came to Pharaoh and told them, "Let my people go," Pharaoh denied that request. What was Moses asking for? "Let my people go so that they may worship God freely. They may worship the one true God." And no, it's not just the men, but the women, the children, the cattle. Everything is going with us. That's what God has requested. And time after time, Pharaoh denied that request. And it wasn't until the Passover, until the angel of the Lord came and killed every firstborn of humans and every firstborn of animals, of those who had not put the blood on the doorposts, that Pharaoh said, "Okay, leave, go. Your God, worship him, but just leave us alone." And the people of Israel left Egypt, celebrating the first Independence Day, Passover, as they walked through the desert, as they crossed the Red Sea, as they continued their march to the Promised Land. And it was 50 days later. Have you heard of the word Pentecost? That's what they celebrate. 50 days later, that the people of Israel found themselves before this great mountain called Mount Sinai. And as Moses went up to hear what God wanted from him and his people, we find the words of Exodus 20 that God spoke to him and to all the people of Israel, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." You see, God did not give his people his holy law while they were still in bondage. He knew it would be impossible for them to keep the principles that are stated there. And as we all know, the principles of the law of God are very simple, but very important. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. A basic, important principle by which he wanted his people to live by. But he knew that back in Egypt, There were many gods. He knew that back in Egypt, stealing was okay as long as you didn't get caught. Murder was okay as long as you didn't get caught. Adultery was okay as long as you didn't get caught. And God said, no, that's not the way to live. That's slavery. That's bondage. And it was as they left Egypt, as they left that house of bondage, as they came to Mount Sinai, that God gave them his law in this context of freedom. You're free not to steal. You're free not to commit adultery. You're free to honor your father and your mother. You're free to worship me on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. You're free not to have other gods before me. And in this context of freedom is how God gave his law to his people. Not so that they would do whatever they wanted. That's a concept that we find today. Many people think that freedom is the ability to do as you wish. No rules, no laws, nothing that I don't want to do. But praise God for laws, amen? Praise God for traffic laws. Yes, we all got here. We obeyed those traffic laws, and then we made it safely to church. Natural laws, the law of gravity, we want to respect that law. And so many other laws. And God, knowing his people and understanding the needs of his people, he invited them to keep this law of liberty, a token, a symbol of what God had done for his people, inviting them out of Egypt, out of bondage, inviting them into a relationship with their Redeemer, with their Creator. Amen? Many had forgotten in Egypt, who is God? They had heard Pharaoh say, who is God that I might serve him? There is nobody else but me. Many had forgotten his name. And in the Ten Commandments, his name is stated. Many had forgotten what he did for them. And there it's stated, he created the heavens and the earth. And in this law, we find so many beautiful concepts of the character of God. And God is love. If we go to the writings of Paul, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We find this concept again of freedom, of liberty, presented to the church in Galatia. A church that had heard the gospel, a church that had found freedom in Jesus Christ, a church that had found hope in Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we find the following verse: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The people, the members of the church of Galatia, had thought, hey, we're free in Jesus Christ, therefore, I can do certain things that I'm not supposed to. In fact, they came to the idea, the false idea, that because they were circumcised, they were saved. And because they were saved, they could hate others. They could commit adultery. They could do all these things that the law of God clearly states, thou shalt not do. And Paul was speaking to the church members there in Galatia, and in verse 13, He reminds them again, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for what? For the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Paul inviting the church again that was straying away thinking, "Hey, I am free, and because I am free, I can do as I please." God said, "No, you're free to do what is good. You're free to do what is just. You're free to do what is honorable to God. You're free to do that which is holy. Use your freedom to serve one another, to love one another." And knowing that we human beings struggle. And we struggle, don't we, brothers and sisters? It's not easy to be a Christian in the 21st century. It's not easy to follow God's word by our own strength. But the word of God invites us to produce the works, the fruits of the Spirit. The same Spirit that came 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Jesus had given his life for all of humanity. The same Spirit that descended upon Peter, John, and later on upon Paul. That same Spirit is what Paul is inviting the Galatians to produce the fruits of it by inviting this same Spirit into their own lives. And in verse 22 of chapter 5, we find these beautiful words, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." We're free. We're free to love and to serve one another as we make a covenant with God and God makes a covenant with us. I shared with you about 2 weeks ago that this month of July, Carolina and I will be married 9 years, July 30th. And we made a covenant before family members and friends. We made a covenant to love one another, to respect one another, to care for one another. We were free to do that. And this is made possible again only through Christ, who says, "I want to make a covenant with you. I want to be your husband," says God to his church. "I want to be your God, and you are supposed to be my people, my holy people." But how does this work? How can we sinful human beings do what God calls us to do in these times that we live in? And we can only do this, brothers and sisters, if we are truly free. It's the only way. There's no other way. And if God writes his law upon our hearts. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10. Paul again, writing to his fellow brethren. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 16 is actually a quote from Jeremiah 31:33. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I
will write them. Amen? That's the promise that God makes with us today. I will put my laws in their heart. This law of liberty that we are to proclaim wherever we go. In Christ Jesus, we are free to do what is good. We are free to love one another. We are free to serve one another. In Christ Jesus, we are free to do what before we couldn't, because we were in bondage, because we were slaves to sin. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And over, he stated this love for one another. In these times that we live in, we are invited to proclaim the liberty that we found in Jesus with those around us. James is the person who brings this concept of liberty and law. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open it to James chapter 2. And here he uses another word also for this law, the royal law. Because the one who gave it is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the royal law of God. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he adds, you do well. You do right. Is that easy, brothers and sisters? To love your neighbor as yourself? No, it's not. Selfish nature takes over time after time after time. But God tells us through James that if we fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak, is the invitation of James, and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, of freedom. Live, do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Are the Ten Commandments a reminder of what God has done in your life, brothers and sisters? They should be. That we have been freed out of bondage. And in Christ Jesus, we don't have to submit ourselves to sinning anymore. In fact, Paul says that the end of the law, the purpose of the law, is to point us to Christ Jesus. Because on our own self, there's no way we can fulfill this royal law. We're too selfish in nature, too self-centered. But in Christ Jesus, we find a perfect example of the fulfillment of that law. In Christ Jesus, we find the one who loved us so much that he came to give his life for you and for me. In Christ Jesus, we find true freedom. In Christ Jesus, we are free to love. We are free to be kind to one another. We're free to be patient to one another. We're free to be temperate. We're free to tell this world that in Christ Jesus, in his word, there is true freedom. For second service, we will be having a baptism. Daniel Laverne. And I want to ask you as a church to be praying for him. He's a brand new member.
I studied with him the Bible, and Pastor Jeff, too. Both of us have been studying with him for the past 4 months now. I was trying to figure out how many months we've been studying with Daniel. And he's going to need our prayers. He's going to need our love. He's going to need us to come alongside him and encourage him in his new walk with Jesus, in his new beginning. And we as a church have the privilege of continuing to show people this path, that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the life, that Jesus is the truth. Why do we do what we do as Christians? We can only do this out of love. The only way. How many of you like to see the doctor? Most of us would rather not see the doctor. But we have to. I think it had been a year and a half since I had seen the doctor. And I had recently changed plans, so I hadn't even met my doctor. And they had been calling. When are you going to make an appointment? Since January, February, March, April. But there was somebody else who was insisting I go see the doctor. Who was that? My wife, Carolina. Why it takes time to go see the doctor? Nobody likes to get poked. Blood tests. And I made the decision to go see the doctor. When I walked in, he says, "Hi, nice to meet you." He says, "Nice to meet you too. I know why you're here." "You do? Why?" "Your wife made you." "Is that true?" She did. "That's why I'm here. Not because I want to, but she wanted me to be here." And the only reason why we do certain things that we don't want to do, but that are good, is because love is the motivator. Amen? And God doesn't want us to follow him out of force. He doesn't want us to follow him out of guilt. He doesn't want us to follow him because we have to. But he wants us to follow his law of liberty because we are saved, because we are free, because we love to do his will. Amen? I invite all of you church members to proclaim on this day, 4th of July, and every day to all those around us, the liberty, the freedom that we have all found in Jesus Christ. Amen.